And Perikhov, chapter 20, we are at Pasuk Zayin, right? Sentence 7. And I wanted to note a couple of things that we sort of left off with last time. What we did was this is the chapter in which they designate the six cities that are going to be the Ari Miklat, the cities of refuge for accidental murderers. And we talked about why these cities are here, and sort of the mitzvahs themselves, and we have through the Sefer HaChinuch's explanation of the benefits of having these cities, why we place the murderer among the Levim, the Levites in particular, as a separate issue. We noted the language of the instruction to designate these cities. By Yidaber Hashem El Yehoshua Le'emor, God spoke to Yehoshua the way that God spoke to Moshe. We talked a little bit about the laws of the city, and actually there was a question that was asked last time that I wanted to answer. If you take a look at source number 1, I think it was Alina who asked the question of what happens if a Levi kills somebody.
No, that wasn't me, but
okay.
I asked if they have to leave.
You'd ask if they
have to leave.
Or better yet, what if someone...
I think Roberta asked if
they... Okay, it was at this end.
wouldn't it just be... wouldn't you just think they would go to one of the different Aramaic?
They can't get there. It's not equal assistance.
Well, they are equal. They're
very far away.
It isn't the closest one, right?
What if someone in that city who was already in there for a reason?
Yeah.
Accidentally kill someone within that
same city. Same question.
Yeah.
Same question. So take a look at source number 1, because it's actually going to address both. It's going to address both.
Accidentally killing people.
You should stay in jail.
Yeah, well, accident may be in quotes. But the Mishnah says in source number 1, Harag ba'osa ha'ir gola mishchuna l'shchuna. If someone kills in that city, meaning he's already a resident of that city, not because he's a Levi, but as you said, he's there for a reason. And then he kills somebody in the city, so he has to move from one neighborhood to another neighborhood within the city. He has an exile experience of sorts. Uben Levi, and if he's a Levite, go lemeir leir. He has to go to a different city of the Levium. That's the Mishnah. So the Gemara expands on this and says, Ben Levi shahara gola miplach leplach. A Levi who kills is exiled from neighborhood to neighborhood, not from one city to another. And if he ends up in his own neighborhood, so his own neighborhood will receive melech, it'll work. The Goel Hadam, the redeemer of the blood, this relative of his victim, can't show up at his doorstep and say, you never went into exile, and therefore, I'm gonna kill you now. Rav Acha, brother of Ika, Mikra, Rav Acha, son of Rav Ika, asked, what's the verse to support this? To support the idea that he could actually end up in his own city, because the Torah, in its description of the laws of the city of refuge, which we saw last time, says, Ki bi'ir miklato yeshev. He will sit in, he will dwell in, it should be, I shouldn't have written sit. He will dwell in ir miklato, the city of his refuge. So ir shekalato kvar, the city that was already his refuge. So in other words, it's entirely possible that he will not have to leave his city at all. There's more discussion about this.
His mentor neighbor or something?
Right. So theoretically, that'll work.
Maybe, you know?
Theoretically, he'll still be able to. It will still work for him to stay there. He's supposed to go to a different region of the city. He's supposed to go to another neighborhood. But hypothetically, he could actually end up staying in the same spot.
House arrest.
And it would work.
House arrest.
But it's not house arrest. He can travel around in the city. He's safe.
So, who determines if it's in fact accidental? We have court cases for a reason. People are, I didn't mean to, and then whatever.
Right. So that goes a little bit back to what we had seen last time. First, from the psukim themselves, it's not God. The psukim themselves said that you actually have a trial. He goes in front of a Beit Din, and the Beit Din determines, is this something that sends him to the city of refuge, or is it something he gets executed for? Or is it none of the above? Because one of the other things that we noted last time from the Gemara and Makos is that it's possible for him to kill someone in a way that we call ones. It was beyond his control. And if he does that, he doesn't go to the city of refuge at all. This is for people who should have known better and were careless. So one of the points of distinction is when he hit somebody, assuming the case was that he swung his hatchet and he hit somebody, if he was swinging it backwards, like to get momentum type of thing, and somebody walked behind him and he hadn't seen him before, then he's not going to the city of refuge. If, on the other hand, he's swinging it forwards, and that means that he was just careless, then he's going to the Ur Mikla. Then he has to go to the city. And there are, you know, different criteria that are given to try to determine this. And it's the whole discussion in Makos. But the basic rule is that he's only going to the Ur Mikla, to the city of refuge, under specific circumstances, and the Beit Din is going to have to be the one to apply those standards to the case.
I don't know if you discussed this last time, but did he go with his family?
Yes. Yeah. He goes with his family, he goes with his Rebbe, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. And it would be, I guess, in a way, fortified, or because you'd want to keep out people who are wanting revenge?
Right, like, so the assumption is that you're somehow keeping these, you know, the Goel Adam out. Mm-hmm. How you do it is a good question. Mm-hmm. There's no discussion of what the fortifications were, or whether it was simply that everybody knew this is base. He's, you know, he's safe, and you can't do it. Yeah, sort of.
So everybody who goes to
Israel, so no, Levium first, you know, certainly that they were their families, but otherwise, yeah, I think the family goes with. I'm trying to remember if I have a basis for saying that. I think I do, but yeah. But certainly that his Rebbe goes is explicit in the Gemara, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that we just don't know about how this functioned.
But why he also connected it to the death of the Kohen Gadol also is very weird.
Right, so we talked about this a little bit last time. We gave some explanation. We didn't give a lot, but we gave some explanation. If you look back at the source sheet from last time, you'll see a couple of answers there. I've often thought that, you know, you have people who write these sort of historical fiction novels about things from the Torah. It will be really interesting for someone to write one about, like, a city of refuge and how this operated.
You don't even know if anyone went there.
Right, we don't even have an actual case that I can think of where somebody actually goes.
Nothing in the Gemara that talks about.
I don't believe you have a single case in the Gemara that actually referenced of someone going to a.
You have to get never used for that purpose, do you?
No, I think the Gemara is too late. Keep in mind that, you know, the Gemara is after all of this would have been used.
But there's no accounts of it, like no one, you know, passed down.
Right. It is. It's interesting. I imagine that people didn't want to pass these things down in their family. Yeah. Great Grandpa Joe was. Yeah, he killed someone by accident. So we left the city of Torchin and we went to live in, you know, Shem. Okay. So that's just by way of background. If you take a look at Pasuk Zayin, sentence 7, that's what we're up to. The designation of the actual cities. Vayakdishu, and they dedicated as Kedesh Bagalil Bahar Naphtali, Kedesh in the Galil, up north. Mount Naphtali, remember that Naphtali is up north. Naphtali and Asher are those two rectangles up north. Vayas Shechem Bahar Ephraim, and then moving south, you have Shechem on Har Ephraim, which we've talked about. Remember Har Ephraim being this big central site when we talked about Yehoshua getting the city on Har Ephraim, and we went through all these cases that you find in the Navi of events that occur on Har Ephraim. It's a very important region. But Kiryat Arba, hi Chevron Bahar Yehuda, and Kiryat Arba, which is Chevron, on Har Yehuda further south. And we're going to see again in Perek Chaf Aleph in chapter 21 that this city of Chevron is going to be a city of Levium, and therefore it can be one of these cities of refuge. We already saw Kalev get this area, so our answer then, as now, is that Kalev actually doesn't receive the city proper. Kalev receives the outskirts of the city. Pasuk Chet, sentence 8, is the one that gets us into trouble. Umeever liyarden yirichal mizracha, on the eastern side of the Yarden. It's identified as Yarden Yericho, I think we mentioned once before, because Yericho is such a prime spot on the Yarden. But the Yarden, of course, extends further north and extends further south. But east of the Yarden, Nasnu as Betzer Bamidbar Bamishur Mimate Reuven, starting in the south. There is Betzer, and that's Reuven's city that they're contributing. Be'es Ramot Bagilad, and then Ramot Bagilad, also known as Ramot Gilad. Mimate God, that's from God, V'es, and then Golan Babashan Mimate Menashe. Golan is a city itself up in the north from the Bashan And we said, I think we actually read through these psukim last time. If you take a look at Pasuk Tet, sentence 9, Ela hayu arei hamu'ada l'chol b'nei Yisrael. These were the arei hamu'ada. I explained last time two etymologies for mu'ada. Either it means the ones that were designated, or it means the place of vad, the place of gathering. So these are the cities, however you read Mu'ada, L'chol b'nei Yisrael, for all of the Jews, V'la'ger agar b'selcham, as well as the stranger who lives among them, meaning a ger toshav, who observes the seven mitzvos, he would have the same rules. L'nus shama kol makei nefesh b'shkaga, so that anybody who kills someone accidentally goes there, V'lo yomus b'yad goel adam, and he shouldn't die at the hands of the relatives of his victim, Adam do lifnei ha'ida, until he goes to court, and then the court has to decide whether he goes there or not. So the problem here, and it's an old question that you've likely heard discussed at some point or another, is the question of why you need the same number on the western and eastern side of the Yarden. You have a much larger population on the western side, right? You have 9.5 tribes minus a little bit of Dan on the western side, and you have 2.5 tribes plus a little bit of Dan on the eastern side. So why do I need the same number of cities? So Liba last time already blew the ending by saying, well, because it's we're not doing it based on the population size. We're doing it based on having cities that will be near the person who committed murder, right? That was your answer. That's fine. I'm not upset.
Someone's on the western side, go to the eastern side, if that's sort of closer to
everyone. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. There was no requirement of going to a particular one, but they're required. V'shilashtas gevul artzecha. You're required to divide up the land in equal portions so that there will be a city near you wherever you are. So if it happens to be that you're in a sparsely populated area, you still need a city nearby. And therefore, that's the way it should be arranged. I think that's the simplest answer to the problem, but it's the answer that nobody gives. Everyone else has to have a lot of excitement about this question. I don't know why. It seems fairly straightforward. Take a look at source number 2, where Abar Benel says, this is the time for a math lesson.
Okay.
Yeah. He says, V'ha'emet hu. He says, the truth is, Shenasa ha'kol b'yosher kafi arei ha'levi'im. He says, this is all done fairly, according to the cities of the Levium. And what he means by that is, Vizeki Hayu Areha Levium Arbaim Ushtayim. He says, look, there are 42 Levite cities, in addition to which you have 6 Levite cities that are also cities of refuge. Grand total is 42 plus 6? 48. Thank you. V'kulam Hayu Koltos, in all of those cities except murderers, right? Last time we talked about this a little bit and said there are distinctions in law between the 6 designated cities and the others. So, for example, we have one view that said the accidental murderer who goes to one of the 6 lives there for free, rent-free. If he wants to go to one of the other ones, he has to pay rent. That's an example of a potential distinction between being one of the designated 6.
Same safe haven,
correct.
And any of the Levine cities, even if it's on or in the club?
Correct. So we have distinctions like that, but all 48 fundamentally will function to save him. So Barbanel says, look, Bekasha Yishalku Memchet Arim Al Yud Beis Shvatim, you are Ba'alachol Shevet. He says, divide 48 by 12, and you end up with 4 cities per tribe, which in fact is largely what we're going to see when we discuss the question of where these cities of the Levium were. It's roughly 4 cities per Shevet. V'haya ra'uyim kin sheshnei shivtei v'chetzi shnei, should be shvatim, I retyped it, so it's probably my typo, sheshnei shvatim v'chetzi asher be'ever ha'yardin yitnu asara arim. So he says, logically, if you have 2.5 cities east of the Yarden, we're ignoring Dan capturing Leshem. That's not part of this discussion. So if you have 2.5 cities east of the Yarden, logically, you should give 10 cities. Dalu l'chol shevet, 4 per tribe. V'atatir esh heim nasnu shalosha arim l'miklat ul'moshava kohanim, which should say Levim, natnu od shiva. So he says, look, they gave 3 cities of refuge and then another 7 for Levim to live in. So it's 10. In other words, what Abarbanel is doing, he's playing a little bit of a bait and switch in order to solve our problem. What he's really discussing is the question of the balance of the 48 cities. 2.5 times 4.
He's discussing why 10, not why...
Correct. He didn't actually answer our question about why 3.
And also, aren't there some cities that are the same? Like you said, Hebron has both.
All six are the same. All six are also cities of Libya.
So, but I feel like he's double counting it almost.
Well, it's not that he's double counting it. He's answering the wrong question.
But like when he gives the 10, he separates 3 and 7. But for the rest of them, you know, I guess what I'm saying is he's
not 3. He's not addressing why 3.
Yeah,
he's
addressing
correct.
Why 10. He's not addressing
correct.
The Arabian plot as well.
Even though he presents it as though he's addressing the question of why you need 3 on the other side, his answer effectively is, well, overall, in terms of the 48, the math works. You're supposed to have
10, and then yeah. he's saying it's and 3 and 7, but for 10, it could have been 8 and 2.
Right, correct. Or you should have had, by the numbers, you should have had
right.
more Levite cities and fewer refuge right. cities.
Right.
That's what ought to have happened. But what he's doing is explaining really the 48 and the 10 and 38 and saying that works. So he's not so bothered by everything else. The big problem is the Gemara's answer to this question. If you take a look at source number 3, this is the classic answer. The Gemara Rashi on the Chumash quotes it. Be'er ha'Yarden tlas, Be'eretz Yisrael tlas. You have 3 on the eastern side of the Yarden and 3 in Israel, and yes, it's true that we view the eastern side of the Yarden as Israel. But originally, it's not. When you look at the boundaries that are provided in Parshas Maaseh, it's very clear that the eastern side of the Yarden is not part of this initial Israel. Whether it's supposed to be eventually is a separate discussion. The best proof of it, perhaps, is the fact that Moshe is buried there. He's not supposed to make it into Israel. By what right is he in Be'er ha'Yarden? The answer is because that at that stage is not part of Israel. It becomes part of Israel because we fight our wars with Sihon and Og because they won't let us through. In a hypothetical situation in which, in Parashas Chukas, we send a message to them and say, we'd like to be able to go through to get to Canaan, and they say, go ahead, that doesn't become part of Israel at that stage. It's just Be'er ha'Yarden. There's a lot of discussion about this. There are tshuvos on it. I can provide material if you want, but that's the simple read of what happens there. And that's what's consistent with this Gemara, which calls it eastern side of the Yarden, Israel. So the Gemara wants to know why 3 here and 3 there. Amar Abaye beGilad shchichi rotzchem. So Abaye says because you needed them, because in Gilad, the eastern part of the other side of the Yarden, there were a lot of murderers. Dichsiv, because the pasuk in Hosea says Gilad Kiryat Poli Aven Akuva Midam. It's a hard line to translate. I did the first half of it. The first half is easy. Gilad is a city of evildoers. Tracked with bloody footprints is the JPS's approach. Akuva from Akev, like heel, right? And Midam from blood. So bloody footprints. Sounds like a decent translation. May akuva midam, but the Gemara asks, what do you mean, track with bloody footprints? What does that mean? And Amar Rabbi Elazar, shayu okvin laharog nefashos. They would track to kill people.
You were joking about that.
But hold on.
They're more murderers.
Okay, but if they're more murderers and that's the type of person they are, then they're not accidental murderers.
Ah, so Ara asks the question, what are we doing here? Ari Miklat, the cities of refuge. The cities of refuge aren't supposed to be for intentional murderers. They're supposed to be for accidental murderers. So what in the world is this Gemara talking about? So a few answers. One answer is Abarbanel. And Abarbanel says, yeah, this is a nice drash. It's not really about Ari Miklat. It's not about cities of refuge. What it's really about is the pasuk in Hosea. It's trying to, this medrash here that says you have more cities of refuge because Gilad is a place where you have murderers is really a medrash trying to explain why you have this pasuk say that Gilad is a place of people who shed blood. And what it's saying is, yeah, Gilad is a place where people commit murder, and you can see by the fact that they have these 3 cities. It's not really meant to solve a problem. It doesn't match up, right. And what about
if they're murderers, then they don't need these Ari Miklat. They just need...
Right.
Well, maybe...
Well, then the other answers are going to try to resolve it, as we'll see. But if Arbanel's approach is to say...
They're really murderers, but they're good at hiding it.
Accidentally.
Arbanel is saying if it's a drash on the pasuk, it doesn't have to be so precise. That's essentially what he's saying.
Weren't they all warriors on the other side? Weren't they the warrior?
Right. So the second approach... The second approach to the problem is that you need these for the intentional murderers. You need the cities... because of the intentional murderers. What are you talking about? Take a look at source number 4. Source number four is Ramban's approach, but I do think, by the way, that yes, I think it's consistent with the fact that the Shvatim on the border have to be warriors, and I think that is potentially part of this. But take a look at number four. That's going to figure into some of the answers. But Ramban says, "V'aval pi she'en ha-miklat ela b'shogegin." He said the city of refuge is only for accidental murderers. Hayu shofchei damim b'mirma umarin atzman kishogegin. They would shed blood cleverly, right? They didn't run at the guy screaming, you know, they're going to kill him. They did it in a way that they could present themselves as having done it by accident. So you need more cities of refuge because, as we said before, everybody runs there after the murder. And then Beis Din is going to get them out and try them, but you need to get the witnesses, you have to get everything together for the trial. You need some place for them to be. We don't have jails. So what are you going to do? That's where they're going to be. They're going to be in the city of refuge. So you needed more cities of refuge, says Ramban. That this is what Ramban says. This is what the Gemara means. You have a lot of intentional murderers, and therefore you need the city of refuge on their behalf. The Maharsha has a similar approach that all murderers went to the city pending pending trial, which you know we see here.
And where did the real murderers go? They were found to be intentional.
Sentence
or
they go to jail?
I'm sorry, what?
Those who were deemed real murderers. It would seem as if there aren't any because we never hear about them. We only hear about the Arami flood. So where did the real murderers go?
After they are killed. They were executed, yeah. Yeah, we didn't need a place for them.
So they were just walking around in the streets?
No, they're not.
They went to the
I believe
the
Herrick. I think execution by the sword. Well, that's only, that was one case. That was one particular case. There are four different death penalties. Yes. Sorry, did that what?
So which one is the
until they have their trial, do you have all these murderers hanging around in the lazy cities?
And yes.
That must have been fun.
Yeah. Any Libyan in here? I think we did the your family, right?
Oh, yeah.
So it just means that you have some interesting neighbors.
That's great.
Brings like some cooking.
You still have lots of that.
But isn't there like a lack of a sense of within the other cities, not just the 6, the 48, were they also dispersed throughout Israel, or were they in one area?
Were they all dispersed? Well, the 48 are dispersed throughout Israel. As we're going to
see. So was there a sense of like all the other tribes had this, you know, togetherness and a sense of I don't know. Camaraderie.
Except
and,
Hammond, yeah.
And the Levian were just...
Correct. They're spread out.
Yeah, so
right. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it in chapter 21. That's what we're going
to
talk about.
48 also have to be even... Why is it so important for the 6 to be evenly distributed if we also have these other 48...
Because those are backups. Those are backup cities.
But
I imagine
they would
that
do the same thing temporarily, and then you can make it to one of the other ones.
I imagine that the other 42 cities don't have the same type of space for them. Meaning, since in the 6, they're supposed to be able to live rent-free, you must have areas that are designated, as opposed to these 42, where if you can find a place to stay, great.
And what is the rule of Levi'im?
That's my understanding.
The rule of Levi'im at this time, right? There's no Bet HaMikdash, so...
Well, there is. There's the Mishkan and Shiloh.
So people who are around...
are serving in the Mishkan and Shiloh and teaching Torah. We're going to get to it, really, in parallel.
They have to rehabilitate all these murderers.
They're like a reform school.
They have to travel every day to work in the Mishkan from all over.
Well, keep in mind, they're in shifts. They work in shifts. You have a week. That's your shift.
Okay.
It's not as though you're just at the Mishkan.
What do you do the rest of the time?
So again, we get the parakapala.
Oh, really, what are the family going to be doing?
Trust me. Or don't trust me. Read it. So Ramban, I wasn't precise in the way I explained Ramban. What Ramban is actually saying is not that you have to hold them there for trial. That's the Maharsha's approach. Ramban's approach is to say that they killed pretending that it was accidental, and therefore they're going to end up living in the city. In other words, they're going to go to the courts, and they're going to say whatever they need to say to make sure they end up in a city of refuge. Mm-hmm. So Ramban is saying, we know that this is going on, but there's nothing we can do about it. So therefore, we need Arimiklat. We need these cities of refuge for them to live in. Remember, as we said last time, living in a city of refuge is not a treat. It's traumatic. You're uprooted from everything you ever had and moved off to this other city. And that's where you have to now build a life for yourself, known as a murderer.
But doesn't it seem like we're coming up with the reason after the fact? Like, this was God's intention. God knew these were going to be the evildoers, and then before he thought through to have the same amount there. Like, it almost seems like we're these answers don't work.
Because?
Because that couldn't have been, like, when it was commanded to build these cities, it couldn't have been, like, I don't know, it just seems weird that Hashem's like, oh, well, those tribes are going to be evildoers, and they're going to be on that land also, so we're going to have to compensate for that.
Right.
Like, it just seems like these reasonings don't...
So the approach that I would give is that they're not saying it's because of the tribes that are there, as much as it's the land itself, that there's merit to being in Israel, and that is protective, and if they're going to live on the other side of the Yarden, they will not have that kind of protection. That this is actually part of being on the wrong side of the Yarden. And they're paying the price of the decision their ancestors made as saying, well, we want to be on the eastern side. That's the way that it's looked at. It's not so much a function of the bad people as it is a function of being outside of the main land of Israel. That's the way that they look at it.
Like less Kedusha there, less...
Yeah. Yes. It's a difficult idea, but it's one that's actually consistent with another point that we made when we went through the question of why cities of Levim are used for Ir Miklat, right? One of the answers that we gave was that we do it in order to have the holy land of the Levim, it's holy because of what the Levim do, that holy land of the Levim will atone for the murderer who's living among them. So there is this idea that, yes, land has a certain sacred character to it, or less sacred character to it, and that can influence what happens there. And that's something we have as an idea about Israel as a whole. Avira there, it's Yisrael, and so forth. Read, you know, any random page in the Kuzari, and, you know, you can see more about that.
But it could also just be like, well, the end, meaning when you surround yourself in a better environment, then you're going to, right?
Yes, we'd hope. Yeah.
No, I think it's better than move yourself to a place that the surroundings are better influences.
Right. No, and that's true. So
simpler. No, it just seems simpler than all this.
Okay.
We guarantee.
The problem we have isn't this. The problem is a need to explain the Gemara, not a need to explain why they're going to the cities of Levium. In other words, if you want to give me an answer for why three on this side and why three on that side, I would be very comfortable with our original answer of needing to have the equally spaced cities, and you're done. The question that we need to resolve is the question of what the Gemara is talking about. So the first answer that we gave is, don't take the Gemara's drash too literally. That's Abarbanel. The second answer is, because of the intentional murderers, we will need more Ari Miklat. And then there's a third class of answers, which I think is very important, because of what it says about this parak as a whole. And that is that you need them because of the accidental murderers. But didn't you just say there are more intentional murderers? So take a look at source number 5. We're going to go through three different explanations of this. One is Tosfos on that Gemara, who's bothered by the same question as everybody else about you need cities for accidental murderers, not intentional ones. And Tosfos writes, therefore we needed cities of refuge. Lefi, kishahorgim mezid below Edim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mezamnon lepundok echad kedamrin lekaman. He points to a Gemara further along in Makos, where the Gemara talks about how Hashem arranges things in this world. And it says, you always get what you have coming to you. And the way it'll work is, if somebody killed somebody else intentionally, but there were no witnesses, and then you have somebody else who killed somebody unintentionally and didn't end up going to the city of refuge. So God will arrange for them to get to the same inn, and the one who is supposed to be killed will be walking past the ladder, while the one who is supposed to go to the city of refuge will be at the top of the ladder. He'll fall off the top of the ladder, and he'll end up killing the one on the bottom, and therefore he will have to go to the city of refuge, and the one on the bottom gets what he deserves. Now, if you want to know whether that's the way the world really works, you have to go back to Eov, and we'll spend a couple of years learning that. But the idea that the Gemara is expressing, Tosfos says, means that the more intentional murderers you have around, the more accidental murderers you need to kill them.
Hmm. Oh boy.
Yeah, that's a very interesting answer.
That's like the worst answer yet.
Yeah, I have a whole other discussion about that, but I'm not going to go through it. There are commentaries on this Tosfos that try to make heads or tails of this. Rashi quotes it all the time.
Why do you need another person to get involved?
Well, because this way both of them are taken care of. Yeah. You're asking, if Tosfos is saying this, though, he's talking about it where there isn't somebody who already was an accidental murderer. Yes, so you're asking. You should be asking.
Why to make another accidental murderer to take care of it?
Right.
Yeah. So Tosfos, so the Gemara that he's quoting did it. The Gemara that he was quoting assumed that there was somebody else who was supposed to go to the city of refuge. But Tosfos seems to be applying it in some other way. There's more to say on this Tosfos, but I just didn't bring it. But there's a lot you can do with it.
So someone who was supposed to go through refuge who didn't.
Then he would be the one who accidentally killed the murderer, so he has to go. Everyone's getting what they're deserving, basically.
Right.
So why would he go now? He didn't go.
Oh, no, because now there are witnesses who caught him.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So
But the question you should be asking is, but this assumes that he was an accidental murderer already, which was not in the Pasuk. That's not what it said. It only talked about intentional ones. So I'm going to go to the Maharal because I don't want to get caught up in the Tosfos. Maharal gives me another answer. He says, "Nirali ki kol shogeg hayaloliyo nizhar shalo yaharog." He says, the truth of the matter is that every time you're dealing with somebody who goes to the city of refuge, this is somebody who was careless. He should have been careful not to kill. That's why he has to go to exile. Dim lokein lama yigala demasa. Otherwise, why are you sending him off into exile? What did he do wrong? If it was really not in his control, there's no reason for him to be sent away. Unless I were to look at the city just as a refuge for safety and not as any form of punishment, but we don't. He should have been careful that he shouldn't cause somebody else to get killed. And that's parenthetically goes back to our question about why you allow this redeemer of the blood to get away with it if he catches the guy outside of the city of refuge. The answer is because, or at least one answer is, because you want to deter people from this sort of carelessness. They have to know there's a possibility that they're going to pay if they do this. They're not going to get away with it. Ubegilad, nefishi rotzchim osam shem mezidin. So in Gilad, you have the people who are intentional murderers, in addition to the people who are accidental murderers who are careless. And what it means is, you have this population of terrible people. You have people who commit murder intentionally. You have people who commit murder accidentally. And therefore, they needed many cities of refuge. The people become careless about human life. And that's why there are more intentional murderers. And what you need is more of these cities because of that problem, because as people are less sensitive, they are less careful in terms of preserving the lives of others. I want to come back to that Maharal in a minute, but I just wanted to show you the last approach, Rabbi Yisrael Lifshitz, the Tiferes Yisrael on the Mishnah, gives another answer. And he says, "Begilad shahayu mari nefesh umechumame lev tfei." In Gilad, they were more bitter and of hotter hearts. And I don't know if he means because they're the warriors on the border, or if he believes this because they're not in the land of Israel proper and they're outside, and therefore they don't have the same merit. But that's what he describes. He says that's what Hoshea is saying: is that the people who live on the other side of the Yarden, they're not happy people, and they're hot-headed people. And they would, it should probably be laharog, but they would pursue, no, sorry, laharog nefashos, they would pursue people who had killed others via shogeg or mezid, whether accidental or intentional. Chozren achrov lahargo, they would pursue him to kill him. You needed more cities of refuge because there was a greater chance that the accidental murderer might get killed. Because they were hot-headed people.
But those people got away with it? They didn't just get killed themselves?
If the relative of the original victim caught the accidental murderer and killed him. He's not supposed to do this. I mean, there's a whole discussion whether this is appropriate for him to do or not. But I'm assuming it's not appropriate for him to do it.
We're referring to the relatives here.
Correct. That's the gorilla them. They're not going to be liable for death. Correct.
Hope they run into it fast.
Or lurk outside the city of refuge waiting for him to take one step outside.
So no punishment whatsoever?
No.
Correct.
What shape is this? Is this Reuben? Where is Gilead?
I believe Gilead was Reuven, but we have to take a look. Remote by Gilead. No, I'm sorry, it's God. Gilead is God, which is known as a warrior Shevet. Sorry?
It's a sweeping generalization that maybe...
Well, it's not a generalization. It's a description by Hosea. Well, it is a generalization, but it's not a predictive one. Hosea is describing the sins of his day. And he's talking about, I mean, those who, if anyone here was in that shiur when we did Hosea, but he's describing the wickedness of the people of his time, and he says, yeah, this is what's going on in Gilead. And yes, it's a generalization, but it's someone who's familiar with the scene who is, you know, saying this to the people. What I wanted to highlight here, and I think it's the theme for the Perek, it goes back to some of the things we said last week, is the concern that after the conquest is over, they've now become so familiar with war and so familiar with bloodshed that they really need a correction. And so the Da'at Sofrim that we saw last week said that's why this is here at the end of a conquest. That's when you're supposed to designate the cities, because this is when you need that jolt to say, you know, you've been engaged in bloodshed, you have to know how to stop, you have to know what the limit is. And it also fits with the Sifri about the Kohen Gadol, right? The question that was asked, the question of why it is that this murderer goes free when the Kohen Gadol dies, it's the idea that bloodshed ends life and the Kohen Gadol's job is to prolong it, and they're presented as opposites. And it's making a judgment. It's saying that even where it's an accidental murder, nonetheless, we look at this and say, this shouldn't have happened. And you need to take steps to avoid it happening. And that is consistent as well with the messages that emerge, particularly from Maharal, about the general insensitivity to loss of life and what that does to a society and the need to create these extra cities for them. I think that's a major lesson that this parak is meant to convey.
If the Kohen Gadol dies, you're allowed to leave the city of refuge if you're the one who was killed accidentally.
And you're safe at that point.
You're safe. So if someone wants revenge, however many years later,
at that point, if he gets killed, then the other fellow gets death penalty. Yeah.
He does. So there's the deterrent.
Safe. You're safe as anybody else within society.
Well, that's what it said. The wife of the Kohen would go around bringing people things because people would be like, great. She would give them gifts.
But it never happened.
Well, we don't have a case. We don't. I suspect it did, but we don't have any cases.
So potentially, the city's empty out upon the death of the Kohen Gadol.
Well, the Levium live there.
Levium are there. What about in the six? Are there
in the six? There are Levium also. All of these are cities of Levium.
Okay, the six also Levium.
Yeah, and that's the idea. Clear so far? It's good to be bothered by it. It's not. That's not a bad thing. Yeah, and I don't consider my job to be, make everything all good. It's just to explain what's there. So, should we start on the cities for Levi? How are we doing on time? How do we start at Levi? I don't know.